Put a record on. Sorry. Sorry.
So, as mentioned, if we want to do a brief chazara, this was the request. We'll do a chazara ba'al peh, and then everybody can afterwards do a chazara inside the text. So, the first thing we needed to work out was where is the magic number seven? Where do we get that from? And number two, even if I work it out, but what gives me license to express to Darshan that they all apply in all cases? After all, there's no seven words mentioned in one parasha. So we had various words in the Torah, like v'dorshu or v'dorashta or v'chokarta. So that was clear. All of those words clearly mean you have to do a thorough investigation. V'dorashta, that's what it means. Dorashta means to be doirish, to search out, v'chokarta, to investigate. So wherever it says that word, clearly that's one of our seven words. Now, the word heitev means well from the word toiv. So that was extra. If I say v'dorashu heitev, as the Torah indeed writes, v'dorashta heitev, investigate well. That is a double lashon. That's a tautology. Because if you investigate, by definition, it's well. It means a thorough investigation. So how can you do a thorough investigation? That's the same thing twice. So that word heitev is clearly another word, therefore, on our list. There was one exception to that. If you remember, the exception was because on one occasion it says v'sho'alta heitev. Now that heitev is different to all the other heitevs. Why? Because that heitev is really needed just to qualify to explain what does v'sho'alta mean. V'dorashta uvechokarta, which by definition means a thorough investigation. So heitev is a completely extra word. I ask you, do me a favor, could you paint my house well, but make sure you do it well? That's the same thing twice. You just said, paint it well. So if I say v'dorashta, which means well investigated, or v'chokarta means well investigated, then what's the word heitev doing there? There it is, that must be another word, and it teaches me another investigation. Not so in the case of v'sho'alta. V'sho'alta does not mean to investigate. Did we not say this morning in Shacharis, Achas Sho'alti Me'es Hashem? There's a request. I requested something from Hashem. It's a question. So if the Torah writes V'sho'alta, maybe it means then you have to ask them, hello, how are you? What's your name? Where do you come from? It doesn't mean investigation unless when the Torah writes V'sho'alta Heitev, you've got to ask, well, you mean investigation. Now let's add up the numbers. So we have v'dorashta, v'chokarta, v'sho'alta heitev. That's three. Then we had v'dorashta in another pasuk, and another word heitev, and then v'dorashu and heitev. That is seven altogether. So we definitely have seven words, and that therefore ended the first part of the sugya. Where do I get the seven words? As we just mentioned, there are seven altogether. The second part of the sugya is okay, that's fine. But let's not forget, those seven words are not written in any one single parasha. There's three here, there's two here, there's two there. What were these parashas? One was Ir HaNidachas, one was Ovid Avodah Zarah, one was Edim Zoimimim. So, what gave me the right to throw them all in the melting pot? And add the three to the two, and add the next two, and altogether you get seven. And then suddenly we come up with a rule that that applies in all cases to every case. How do we know? How do we know? And the answer was, the final answer was, although we'll see later on, Mitzvah Hashem, the Gemara refutes this, but where we're holding at the moment, it was a gzeirah shavah. It was a gzeirah shavah. What was the gzeirah shavah? The gzeirah shavah was heitev. At the end of the day, it does say heitev in all three psukim, both Ir HaNidachas and Edim Zoimimim and Ovid Avodah Zarah. So there's a gzeirah shavah, which tells me that what? everything that's written in A applies to B. Everything that are written in B applies to A. Everything that's written in A and B refers to C. In C to B, C to everything is compared, everything is contrasted. I get all the seven. That was the simple bit. What was the complicated bit? The complicated bit was, we mentioned last time, that we need it to be a gzeira shava mufne. We said there's two types of gzeira shavas. There's a gzeira shava which is not mufne, a gzeira shava that is mufne. Not mufne means, yes, it's true that these two parashiyos have a common word, by virtue of which we now therefore compare the two to each other, but is that word spare in each parasha? Now let's press pause for a moment because it's a very, very, very important yesod. Rabbi Yisrael, we need to know this. We have a golden rule in order to darshan a halacha from a pasuk, the word needs to be spare. Otherwise, there's nothing to darshan from it because the word is just there kipshute, to tell me the narrative, to tell me the posha pshat. So we read a pasuk in yesterday's parasha, kiseitze lamilchomo aloivecho. Nobody's going to start asking, oh, what do we darshan from the word milchomo? We don't darshan anything from the word milchomo because that is poshut part of the narrative. Kiseitze lamilchomo, when you go out to war, what did you want to say? So therefore, because there's no word which is spare there, if that's the case and that word is not spare, and therefore there's no drosha that can be made from that word. But if there'll be a superfluous word in the pasuk, so then I could say, so if it's a spare word, then I can make a drosha. But a gzeira shava is different. A gzeira shava is a drosha not based on the fact that the word is spare, rather just the fact that two parashiyos in the Torah use the same word. And that, as we all said in Davening today, Rabbi Shmuel Omer, B'shloish Esrei Midos, HaTorah Nidreshes Bohen, Kal V'chomer, Gezeira Shava.
Couldn't you say Oivecha was spare?
Maybe, then you could dark of Dash for the word Oivecha. I'm talking about the word Mulchama. So therefore, when I have a Gezeira Shava, so the Gezeira Shava that says, even if the word is not spare, it doesn't matter. By the very fact, two parashas use the same word and make a Gezeira Shava. So why would I require on occasion the Gzeira Shava to be Mufne? So this we had a very important rule. Because what happens if there's a Pircha to the Gzeira Shava, there's a refutation. You're comparing A to B, but I've got a reason, a logic to differentiate. And don't forget, Rabbi Yisrael, we've said this 1,000 times in this shir. It's never enough to explain that there's a difference. We always have to explain why it makes a difference. We've mentioned this rule before 100 times. If I would say to you, I don't understand, I asked the Rav Shaila Sunday morning and he told me it's okay. And then I asked him on Monday morning and he told me it's not okay. Big kasha. So what are you going to say? No, there's a very big difference. One was Sunday, one was Monday. Well, I agree that that's a difference, but that doesn't make a difference. If I tell you, no, one was Shabbos and one was Yom Tov. Well, maybe that makes a difference. Maybe Shabbos has different halachas to Yom Tov, but Sunday does not have different halachas to Monday. So when we talk about a pircha, a refutation means a logic that tells me that there's reason to differentiate. Not that just there's a difference, but there's a reason to make a difference. Now, I don't want to get involved again because we discussed this last week, but the Gemara explained that Edim Zoymimin, Avodah Zara, and Ira Nidachas, they all have pirchas, which means you cannot learn one from another based on logic, because I can always argue logically that there's a reason why the Torah said this halacha applies to Edim Zoymimin and not the others, or Ira Nidachas and not the others. Or the Avodah Zarah and not the others. There's a pircha. So here the Gemara brought the rule of Mufne. This is a golden rule that if I have a Gezeira Shava, But it's not just a regular Gzeira Shava, it's a much more powerful Gzeira Shava. Why? Because I'm not merely comparing two parashiyos that happen to have the same word, but rather this word is actually spare or unusual. If the Torah used a very unusual word or a spare word, which was l'chayra unnecessary, then I say that's called mufne, and now the Gezeirah Shava cannot be refuted, even if you have a logical pircha. If the word would not be spare, then you can darshan a Gezeirah Shava, but if I have a pircha, the Gezeirah Shava is cancelled. But if the Gezeirah Shava is spare, the words are mufne, then the Gezeirah Shava cannot be refuted, even if logically I could differentiate between the two. Because in the case of Edim Zoymimin, Irani Dachas, Ovid Avodah Zarah, because there is indeed a pircha, as mentioned, so the only Gezeirah Shava that will make sense over here and will work is a Gezeirah Shava, which is mufne. Because once it's mufne, as mentioned, I cannot ask a pircha. Therefore, the avoida of the Gemara was to work out why, in fact, prove to me that these three magic words, heitev, are all mufne. Why are they mufne? Prove to me that they're mufne. And that's what the Gemara did. The Gemara proved in every single case that that word heitev was either extra or unusual. So for example, when the Torah writes v'dorashto heitev, as Tosis explained to us, or the Gemara explained to us, we could have used a double lashon, dorosh dorash, v'dorashto tidrosh, or something like that, without now changing the phraseology to come up with a different word of heitev. What's wrong with writing the same word twice? V'dorashto tidrosh, or v'chokarto tachkor. So because the Torah went out of its way, it began using a word of the Dorashto and then switched to Heitev, so that Heitev has become Mufne. It's a strange change of phrase which tells us, please darshan this word at all costs, even though you have a Pircha. So therefore, the Gemara Lamaskana proved in every single case that the word Heitev is always unusual. It's either a spare word, or the Torah could have used a more standard phraseology. Because it didn't, the Torah is therefore indicating that this heitev is mufne. Make a gzeira shava, don't ask a pircha. Therefore, the three and the two all get put into one common communal cholent pot, such that in all cases, you need to have seven chakiris. Yes, Reb Larry.
Isn't it? I mean, unless I misunderstood. When the word is unnecessary, you don't need it to be mufne, because it's unnecessary. It's obviously there to teach us the Gzeirah Shava. It's when it's necessary, like for instance, the Sha'alta Heitev. Without Heitev, Sha'alta, so we need the Heitev. So therefore, it's necessary. It's necessary Heitev. Ah, oh, but now they come to say, well, it's mufne. So since it's mufne, you kind of have a
pircha. Sha'alto heitev, the Gemara explained, even there it's unnecessary because the Torah could have written, for example, dorosh dorash. If you want to throw in another word, investigation, I don't now need to bring in a whole phrase of a sha'alto heitev. It could have said the dorashto, the chokarto tachkor. That also would have been three. Why did you use a funny word of heitev? Ah, to teach me this gzeirah shava.
Okay, so regardless, the mufne should only be when the word is necessary for something else. So mufne comes to say, no, even though it's necessary, you can't have a pircha here because it's mufne. If it's unnecessary, there's no problems. Because obviously, it's a weird word. Why is it there? It's not necessary.
That's exactly what mufne means. Mufne means do not ask questions because it's clearly there for a drasha. Whenever there was a simpler alternative, the word could have been missed out, or the word could have been used in an easier terminology, that's an announcement from the Torah that this word must be darshaned, no questions asked. And that's what the Gemara proved.
And that's what mufne means? Mufne means Obviously, this is here to teach us something.
Right. Mufna means panui in Ivrit. If any of you speak Hebrew,
oh, panui, it's open.
It's open. It's free. It's there. It's available. Please darshan it. If it's not an open word, so you're allowed to make a gzeira shava. But if there's a refutation, I can't compare. But if it's mufne, it's an open word. Why is it open? Because the Torah either could have missed it out, or simplified it, or not used a strange word. Then it's mufne, it's open, it's panui. And the Torah is telling me, please darshan this word at all costs. Do not ask questions. Do not differentiate logically, even if there is a perfectly valid differentiation, logical differentiation to be made. So that basically, as requested, is a brief summary of the sugi that we did thus far. However, we are not out the woods yet. And this is where we now carry on. Because there is one further step that we need to make. And this, as we'll see, is where the Gemara finally trips up, as it were. Finally, it refutes this whole gzeirah shavah. Despite the fact we just said you can't refute a gzeirah shavah, but we'll explain. This needs a brief introduction. As we well know, there are Arba Misois Bezdin. Arba Misois Bezdin. Be'ezus Hashem, we'll learn later on in the Masechta, the seventh parak of Sanhedrin is called Arba Misois Bezdin. What are those Arba Misois? Sreifa, Skila, Chenek, and Hereg. Hereg is literally means to kill, but it means with a sword. There is a hierarchy of which punishment is considered more severe. It's a little bit complicated because there's a discussion about where, in fact, does Sreifa go on the list? And Skila. What's more chamor, Skila or Sreifa? We'll discuss in a moment. But either way, there's a hierarchy. If that's the case, now let's press pause for a moment and let's go back to our original drasha. We've learned from Ira Nidachas, Edim Zoymimin, and Ovid Avodah Zarah. We put all of those together in the Cholent pot, 3 and 2 and 2, and we got to the magic number 7. Okay. There were logical differentiations between the three, but we're not allowed to ask any questions. The Gzeirah Shavah is Chai Vokayom. Okay, so we made a Gzeirah Shavah. But do we all agree, Rabbi Yisai, that we have no license to darshan more than the Gzeirah Shavah? And I'll explain what I mean. Which punishments are common to those three cases? Let's say, for example, we'll get into the details in a moment. But let's say for the moment, imagine that those three particular cases were the lowest scale punishment, the least strict, the least chomel. So the Gzeirah Shavah is active. And what do we know from the Gzeirah Shavah? That wherever that punishment applies in the Torah, it's a golden rule of thumb. You're not allowed to refute it. You've got to have 7 investigative questions. Okay. I'd love to have differentiated. I'm not allowed to because it's mufne. The Gzeirah Shavah is solid, cannot be refuted. So wherever I have that particular punishment reoccurring elsewhere in the Torah, I have to ask the 7 chakiras. But let's ask the $64 million question. And what happens if I have a different punishment? I have skila, which might well be at the top of the list. I don't have a gzeirah shavah for that. I can't learn from the gzeirah shavah more than what the gzeirah shavah was talking about. Maybe the Torah told me, yes, compare and contrast all these 7 cases, such that in any similar case, you need 7 chakiris. But skila, whoever discussed skila? Maybe it makes sense. Remember, we've discussed this many times, Rabbi Yisai. Chakiris is a big kula. Why is chakiris a kula? Because the more we investigate, the more likely it is that he'll be off the hook. Okay, so maybe that applies with an Aveira that's not so chamur. If the Aveira is not so chamur, as is reflected by the fact that the punishment is not so chamur, so maybe there the Torah is very keen. If we're quite lenient with him, so we'll add another leniency, try to get him off the hook. But he is over an Aveira which is so severe that it warrants a very severe punishment. Maybe over there there's no din of chakiris. And don't tell me, yeah, but I've got a gzeira shava, which I can't refute. It's true, I'm not trying to refute it. All I'm saying is the gzeira shava was only ever in existence in the lower tier punishments. But I have zero gzeira shava that talks to me about the top tier punishments. And that's going to be the big question. So have a look at the Gemara. We're on the first wide line of the Gemara.
But if it's Mufne, what's the difference? What the differences are?
That's exactly what I just explained. Mufne means you cannot refute the comparison. You're comparing A and B and C, even if there's a logical differentiation. Too bad. No questions accepted. You've got to compare them. Fine. I don't mind comparing them. But I've only got to compare them with regard to what's being discussed in the Pasuk, even though there's differentiations. But Skila was never within the realms of this Gzeira Shava. That's not called refuting the Gzeira Shava. I'm not refuting the Gzeira Shava. I'm just saying, fine, I'll darshan the Gzeira Shava. In which case? In the case that the Torah is talking about. Really, I would love to say that there's no Gzeira Shava at all. I can't even compare the three cases. There's a logical differentiation. Fine, I was told I'm not allowed to ask that question because it's mufna, so the gzeira shava does apply. Compare all three, okay? I'll compare all three. But if I've got a fourth case which is completely different to this, the gzeira shava is never talking about that. I'm not refuting the gzeira shava. I'm just explaining that the gzeira shava has limitations. I can't learn, that's what I meant before. I cannot learn more than what the gzeira shava was talking about.
Well, what was the Hava Amina to believe that in the fourth case it would be if it's not, the words aren't used
if
again?
The fourth case is talking about Skila. If I get you a case, somebody was Mechalal Shabbos and he's high of Skila. Chilul Shabbos is clearly an extremely stringent Aveira. It's so stringent, it's so chomor that the Torah slaps on him the most stringent punishment. Do we have a precedent anywhere in the Torah that the seven chakiras apply even in a case of skila? No.
Because well, there's no pasuk.
There's what?
There's no wording. There's no chakira. There's no pasuk. The words aren't dragged over into that case.
That's the Gemara's kasha. So how do I know? How can I make it a golden rule that in every single death penalty you always need to have sheva chakira? Is why? Where did the Torah ever write that in the case of Skila, for example, you have to have Sheva Chakiris? What are you going to tell me? Well, it's true, it didn't write it in Skila, but it did write it in Edim Zoymimin, Avodah Zarah, and Eira Nidachas. Well, the common denominator between all of those three, they're all lower tier Averas. So I'm not refuting the Gzeira Shava. The Gzeira Shava is wonderful, and I will apply it in every lower tier Avera of the Torah, because that's what the Gzeira Shava was talking about. But if ever I find an Aveira which is higher tier, that was never within the realms of the Gzeira Shava. So how can you make it a golden rule?
I'm sorry. I hate to be, I'm just a little confused. There are three specific cases. Ira Nidachas, Avodah Zarah,
and Edom Zomim.
Edom Zomim. And because the wording is the same, heitev, 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 in all three, having nothing to do with lower punishments, higher punishments.
No, it's those, because of that. No,
no, but in those three cases, that's where heitev is mentioned. Is heitev mentioned in the Shabbos case? No. So then why would I think it drags over?
That's the Gemara's question.
So it's nothing to do with lower punishment, higher punishment. It has to do with the word heitev.
No. If Shabbos would be also a lower tier Aveira, then I would have to say it's included in the Gzeira Shava. The Torah is
why written. Is it written Heitev by Shabbos?
It doesn't need to. That's the purpose of a Gzeira Shava. It becomes a rule. It becomes a rule. The Torah is teaching me whenever you have a lower tier Avera, seven Chakiris. Which particular Avera? Not interested. Any Avera. As long as it fits in the criteria, if it's comparable to Edim Zomimim, Ira Nidachas, Ovid Avodah Zarah, it is necessarily incorporated in the Gzeira Shava. The Gezeira Shola cannot be refuted, therefore has to apply in every single similar case. Whether in the other case it's written heitev or not, totally irrelevant. I've got a Gezeira Shova, which makes a rule across the whole Torah, providing that it's similar to these three cases. But if somebody was Mechalal Shabbos and is Chayev Skila, that's not similar to these three cases. The Gezeira Shova was never referring to that. So how can the Mishnah tell me that there's a golden rule that in every single case of Nefoshes, you always need to have seven Chakiros? Why? I have no Gezeira Shova for that. I only have a Gezeira Shova that becomes a rule. It's true, a rule without an exception, but a rule that refers to lower tier cases.
But I thought that Avodah Zorah is Skila.
No, so we'll see in Rashi. No, Avodah Zorah is not Skila. We'll see in Rashi in a second.
No, but Hazama can be Skila.
Sorry, you're right, Rabbi Yosef. Sorry, 100% right. We'll see. We'll get to that in a second. Yeah, sorry.
But Hazama can be any. So okay, why isn't it all-encompassing?
Okay, so I see that none of you have learned Rashi. Fine. So let's see the Gemara now.
One last thing. What about the...
I just didn't understand it.
Ah, okay. So you mean... What Rashi
what about
mean?
The rule of Kal v'chomer?
There's no Kal v'chomer.
Well, if you need Sheva, if you need seven questions on a lower punishment, Kal v'chomer, if we're going to punish the guy even worse, you definitely have to have questions seven times. We're always trying to protect the guy.
No,
so if on the lower punishment, you have to have seven times.
The Gemara is saying reverse logic. The Gemara is saying that the reason why I'm prepared to be lenient by giving seven Chakiras is because it was a lenient Avera. Therefore, it makes sense. But if it was a very, very strict Avera, he was such a terrible Rosha, which is reflected by the fact that he gets a terrible punishment, maybe that the Torah is not going to be lenient with him. You see that the Torah was jolly well stringent with him with regard to the punishment. So I only have a precedent to be lenient in a lightweight Avera. But in a very heavyweight Avera, why don't I want to be lenient with him?
So well, we're really not being lenient. We're just making sure that the Edom are telling the truth. That's not being lenient.
No, that's called the leniency. The fact that the Torah gives me this precedent, quiz and investigate and thoroughly search the Edom is a kula. Instead of just saying, yeah, it looks like he was over Avera, put the guy to death. No, the Torah says we're going to give him a leniency. We're going to try and save him. Maybe the Torah only gave us that mandate when in fact we're not so keen to kill him because he wasn't over such a severe Avera. But if he was over a very severe Avera, that's why there's a very severe punishment. So maybe we're actually quite happy to kill him. So who says Gezeira Shava applies to there also? Says the Gemara on the first wide line, at the end of the first wide line. Va'osu nechnokin. As Rabbi Yosef correctly pointed out before, niskolin obviously means skila. Skila. Avodah Zarah, what's the punishment for Avodah Zarah? Skila. Now, skila is pretty chomor. So there, the kal v'chomer would apply. Because if the Torah expressed this leniency in the case of Skila, even though it's a very bad Avera, then Kal v'chomer nechnokin chenek is a lighter weight, is a lower tier Avera, therefore a lower tier punishment. So Kal v'chomer, if we're thoroughly investigating in order to exempt him from a Skila Avera, then Kol shekein Kal v'chomer, we're going to try and exempt him from a lightweight chenek Avera. That makes sense. Says the Gemara again. Va'osu nechnokin b'kal v'choymer miniskolin o mineherogin. What's neherogin? Well, skila was avodah zarah. And neherogin, which always replies to hereg, besayef, with a sword, for the moment, we're attaching that to edim zomimim.
I know there's a machlokes on skila and the sreifa, which one is more chumra, but between hereg and chenek, what's the order?
Chenek is the lowest of the tier.
Chenek's the lowest.
Chenek is the bottom rung. So therefore, if the top two averas, skila And we'll see about Strafe in a second, but certainly Hariga, if those cases the Torah is lenient and says try and exempt him, so Kol Shekein and Kal V'Chaymer will try and exempt him in a lighter weight Aveir. V'osu Nisrofin, now we can cover Nisrofim as well, and we'll say if there's an Aveira for which you're high of Strafe, the Kal V'Chaymer min Niskolim. Why is it a Kal V'Chaymer? Because we're assuming that Skila is more Chomor. So if in the case which is more Chomor, we try to exempt him, Kol Shekein will try and exempt him in the case of Strafe. So all cases are now covered. However, we're now going to run into problems. Ha, Nicha, that's all fine and well, Rabbonon. Da Omri Skila Chamura. All fine and well, according to Rabbanon, who says that Skila is Chomor, it's right to the top of the list. So if Skila is at the top of the list, it's the most Chomor Avera, Avodah Zarah or Chilul Shabbos, which is Beskila, is the most Chomor Avera, well then yes, all your Kal V'Chaymers are in place. If the most Chomor Avera, the Torah is still quite keen to save him, so Kol Shekein v'Kal V'Chaymer, we're quite keen to save him in a case where it's not so Chomor. Hello, the Rabbi Shimon. But according to Reb Shimon, da Omer Sreifa Chamura. Reb Shimon actually holds that what's at the top of the tree? It's Sreifa. We have no posuk whatsoever. My Ika Lameima question mark. What are we going to say? Prove to me, which you cannot, that Aveira that's high of Sreifa, there's a halacha of Shevach HaKiris. How do you know? All your Gzeirah Shavah cases, the common denominator between the Gzeirah Shavah cases are that they are all, relatively speaking, lightweight Aveirahs with regard to Sreifa, because he holds that Sreifa is the top of the tree. I have no pasuk in the Torah. We'll get to Nachum's question, because what about Edim Zomim? Edim Zomim can be Sreifa, but anyway, we're considering for the moment that Edim Zomimin, Irani Dachas, Avodah Zorah, none of them are Chayav Sreifa, so I don't have any pasuk in the Torah that tells me that in the case of Sreifa, you have Shevach HaKiris, and there's no Kal V'Chaymer. Yes, Reb Larry.
The whole logic to me doesn't hold, because the Shevach HaKiros are in Yanim of Nefesh, but when it comes to a lesser crime of, let's say, Gzela, there's no Shevach HaKiros. So according to this Kal V'Chaymer, they should say, if Kal V'Chaymer ben Nefesh, when the guy did a worse crime, this Shevach HaKiros, certainly if we're trying to get exonerate him from just Geneva, there should be Shevach HaKiros. But it's the exact opposite. The Torah comes and says, no, when it's nefesh ben nefesh, when it's so serious, we've got to do Shevach HaKiros. So therefore, the same logic should apply here. When the higher the punishment, the more specific and more guaranteed, you have to make sure
there was one Aveira, which is Dine Nefashos. Dine Momonos is Bechlal not in this realm, because there is no mandate of Hitzilu Ha'eda, because nobody's life at threat. So it's nothing to do with whether it's more Chomor or less Chomor. It's a different type of Aveira. I have no agenda whatsoever to save him because his life is not in danger. Where the person's life in danger, that's a different type of Aveira, of which there are various types, depending on severity. So if I do not have any pasuk in the Torah which ever refers to Sreifa, how do I know when somebody rebelled against HaKadosh Baruch Hu in such a terrible way that it warrants the most severe death penalty, namely Sreifa, how do I know that I've got an agenda to try and save his life?
But Rebbe, it's alleged. He didn't do anything. He's being alleged that he did a worse crime.
We have absolute conclusive proof.
Then you don't need the Shevach HaKiros.
I would now quiz him with 10,000 questions, or to be more accurate, 7 questions. Then finally, I might find a hole in the evidence. Fine. Who says I'm a chuyev to do that? If it looks on the outskirts pretty secure that he committed this Avera, put him to death. What are you going to say? But I have a mandate of a Hitzilu Eda. I've got to do whatever I can to save him. The Seder, only somebody who's not such a Rasha. But somebody who's a severe Rasha, you don't have any proof that we have this mandate. Okay, running out of time. Emetz Hashem, tomorrow we'll continue this very Gishmak Gemara.
It's lost on me. Sorry.